Blog Talk Radio.
It was a creed written into the founding documents that declared the destiny of a nation. Yes, we can. It was whispered by slaves and abolitionists as they blazed a trail towards freedom through the darkest of nights. Yes, we can. It was sung by immigrants as they struck out from distant shores and pioneers who pushed westward against an unforgiving wilderness. Yes, we can. It was the call of workers who organized, women who reached for the ballot, a president who chose the moon as our new frontier, and a king who took us to the mountaintop and pointed the way to the promised land. Yes, we can to justice and equality. Yes, we can to opportunity and prosperity. Yes, we can heal this nation. Yes, we can repair this world. Yes, we can. And so tomorrow, as we take the campaign south and west, as we learn that the struggles of the textile workers in Spartanburg are not so different than the plight of the dishwasher in Las Vegas, that the hope of the little girl who goes to the crumbling school in Dillon are the same as the dreams of the boy who learns on the streets of L.A., we will remember that there is something happening in America, that we are not as divided as our politics suggest, that we are one people, we are one nation, and together we will begin the next great chapter in the American story with three words that will ring from coast to coast, from sea to shining sea. Yes, we can. Thank you, New Hampshire. Thank you.
Our Common Ground. Blog Talk Radio. I'm Janice Grant. Tonight on Our Common Ground, fear of the black president. Has President Obama become a punching bag icon for American racial hatred? I'm Janice Graham. I'll be listening for you. With me tonight, Alpho of The Alpho Show, my co-host.
And we're so pleased to be with you here at Our Common Ground. Welcome, welcome. On this end of summer holiday weekend facing the Labor Day at Our Common Ground here at Block Talk Radio, we are going to be talking about the fear of this black president. Has hope been assassinated? His election has unleashed an orchestrated attack, and it cannot any longer be denied. What has it wrought upon us, people of goodwill, people who believed in hope? What is the stake for the black community in this country as this attack goes on? What has it wrought upon us? Is the war against President Obama a war really against black people in this country? Is this a race war? President Obama, no doubt, has become an icon punching bag of white backlash, which is growing, is challenging, and is more assertive than any race baiting ever seen in our time. It comes from the mics of major media, the mic of people like Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, Rupert Murdoch, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, and goes to the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, and on the campaign trail of numerous both Republican and Democratic candidates, it is an increasing and unrelenting frontal racial and ethnic assault. And of course, we believe that the Reclaim the Dream March is certainly not enough. What happened to our Yes We Can president? And what are we going to do about it? Alpho, thank you so much for being with us tonight here at Our Common Ground as our co-host. I always enjoy doing this with you. How you doing?
Good evening, Janice. I'm a little, I'm doing fine. I'm just a little wary for the evening is young and nobody's called anybody
Well, I got something for you. Wait a minute. Before, even you know, I for those of you who were not with us on the Alpha show today, I think I had one of my freakouts. I just simply lost it with one of his guests, and I do want to apologize again, Alpha, for my outbreak. And so here we go, Alpha. Here we go.
Alpha, you better be quiet
because
you're starting to get a cut. We'll have no cussing at our common ground.
So we'll have no cussing at our common ground. And we do want to thank those of you who are in our chat room and those of you who are listening who would like to join in on the chat. You can come to blogtalkradio.com/OCG. We've got political insights, empowered woman. I like the empowered woman part for Donna more than the political insights part. The Voxor is here, and Jay Early, and Twee, 1968. And guess what, Alpha? You know who was in the chat room? And I know he's hiding as a guest. You better get yourself back on in here. Remember Rags from U.S. Talk Network?
Rags earlier this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it was good to see him. As soon as I called his name, you know how he does. As soon as I called his name, he disappeared. But I know that he is out there. But, again, Alpha, I do want to apologize. I have been reprimanded at home, and I'm sure that I'll be reprimanded somewhere else again before the holiday weekend ends. And I promise and pledge to never do it again. But I got to tell you, that guy got under my nerve, my last nerve, simply because I'm just tired of it. And I'm not going to take it anymore.
I don't blame you. And I totally understand because, you know, that's what, you know, I look at the people who enter, you know, our chat room and what have you, and I look at them and it just seems to be, you know, this orchestrated situation, and I would not be surprised if, you know, not only are there professional bloggers out there, but I would not be surprised if there are people who they also send out to sites like Blog Talk.
I am sure that he was a professional troll.
Well, and, that's exactly what it is they are. And it,
you know,
is,
and we need to recognize that, as I said in our opening, that this is a frontal attack. This is so well organized. It is one of the things that political science students will be studying for decades, because it is a fine-tuned machine at every level. If you're evangelical Christian, they got something for you over here. If you're a serious student of politics, they got something for you over here. And it's all boxed in. It's all contained and framed in a political framework that gives a little bit of something-something to everybody.
anybody who they need. And it is just an unbelievable kind of political maneuvering and machination that we have never seen in this country. It is like what happened with how they went after Bill Clinton, and they began to try to destroy the image that Clinton had spent years fashioning and forming to run for president. But this is even more devious, more egregious than even the attack on Clinton. This has to do with, what's that thing they used to say, Alpha, bird in hand, get hit two birds with one rock or something?
Killing two birds with one stone.
They're killing two birds with one stone. Yeah. See, that's why, Alpha, you have to stay by my side so we can figure out killing two birds with one stone. They are further demonizing a system of democracy that is inclusive of both poor people as well as people who are not poor. They are demonize people who lost their job through no fault of their own. When you collect unemployment, 99.8% of the time, you lost your job through no fault of your own. Nothing you did. It had to do with your employer. So, you know, they're killing two birds with one stone. They're further forming the face, the image of poor people, of black people, of brown people, of people, you know, for instance, who is that clown, that angler woman, who is going around saying that all of the people who come into this country illegally are drug monkeys or drug donkeys or drug mules?
Well, Janice, that's Sharon Angle. Now, you have to really go back to, you know, earlier. If they were willing to allow people to die because of the lack of health care coverage, there is nothing that is beyond what they are willing to do to regain power. Right now, they are willing to choke a nation to death economically.
Yes, and that's what they're doing.
They have sided with the Chamber of Commerce. They have sided with, you know, the banks, you know, business. Obama's bad for business, but they're all raking in huge profits. But they're afraid. They are afraid to hire people because they don't know what the climate is going to be. So they are afraid. But this is what
you know,
this is it's insidious to a fault.
Well, there are so many people who have lost heart. People who were never enamored by the political system. People who never paid attention to what was going on in their government. People who never, can I use the word hope? Who never had hope that they could participate in this democracy. You know, and I'm the last person to argue the point of the quality of democracy in this country. But as I indicated to you when we were talking this afternoon on your show, there is a democratic framework, and one of the things that we are being robbed of by a corporate immersion in our government, in our body politics, is the idea that there are greedy people, there are mean-spirited people, there are self-interest people who would do whatever it took. They have a taste of what it's like to work outside of the democracy and to work in a society in America to reap the profits, but not have to have democracy. And one of my questions tonight for people in our audience is, while that is all true, what has given them courage? And I think that what has given them courage is that, and Alpha, I know you're going to try to change my mind tonight, but I think what has given them courage is that they believe that in this country, white privilege and white entitlement, which is the basis for white supremacy, is more important than anything else. Alpha, before we begin our discussion tonight, I put together a little thing because I think people are missing and they're asking the question, whatever happened? Where were we when we were so impassioned, when we had this shared passion for this man called Barack Obama? And so what I want to do for a few minutes is go back and look at who Barack Obama was before the war began. You're listening to Our Common Ground at Blog Talk Radio. I'm Janice Graham, and Alpha is my co-host tonight, and we're talking about the fear of the black president, the assassination of hope. We're going to take a look at who we knew as Barack Obama, and when we come back, we'll take your calls at 1-347-838-9852.
We were fired up, ready to go. He was the brilliant image of ourselves, filled with a passion that we shared. And we joined him in the chorus of Yes We Can. This is Janice Graham and an Our Common Ground production of Remembering Barack Obama.
This man on bed for heaven, looking up this soaring peak, the clouds hushed and he did speak. He said,
and yes, we've got some gay friends in the red states. There are patriots who opposed the war in Iraq, and there are patriots who supported the war in Iraq. We are one people, all of us pledging allegiance to the Stars and Stripes, all of us defending the United States of America. In the end, that's what this election is about. Do we participate in a politics of cynicism, or do we participate in a politics of hope? John Kerry calls on us to hope. John Edwards calls on us to hope. I'm not talking about blind optimism here, the almost willful ignorance that thinks unemployment will go away if we just don't think about it, or healthcare crisis will solve itself if we just ignore it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something more substantial. It's the hope of slaves sitting around a fire singing freedom songs. The hope of immigrants setting out for distant shores. The hope of a young naval lieutenant bravely patrolling the Mekong Delta. The hope of a mill worker's son who dares to defy the odds. The hope of a skinny kid with a funny name who believes that America has a place for him too.
face of difficulty, hope in the face of uncertainty, the audacity of hope. In the end, that is God's greatest gift to us, the bedrock of this nation, a belief in things not seen.
But I have asserted a firm conviction, a conviction rooted in my faith in God and my faith in the American people, that working together, we can move beyond some of our old racial wounds, and that, in fact, we have no choice.
Yes, we can.
We have no choice if we are to continue on the path of a more perfect union.
If there is anyone out there who still doubts that America is a place where all things are possible, who still wonders if the dream of our founders is alive in our time, who still questions the power of our democracy, tonight is your answer.
A belief that there are better days ahead. I believe that we can give our middle class relief and provide working families with a road to opportunity. I believe we can provide jobs to the jobless, homes to the homeless, and reclaim young people in cities across America from violence and despair. I believe that we have a righteous wind at our back, and that as we stand on the crossroads of history, we can make the right choices and meet the challenges that face us. America, tonight, if you feel the same energy that I do, if you feel the same urgency that I do, if you feel the same passion that I do, if you feel the same hopefulness that I do, if we do what we must do, then I have no doubt that all across the country, from Florida to Oregon, from Washington to Maine, the people will rise up in November and John Kerry will be sworn in as president and John Edwards will be sworn in as vice president. And this country will reclaim its promise, and out of this long political darkness, a brighter day will come. Thank you very much, everybody. God bless you.
Our campaign has always been different. The reason we began this improbable journey almost a year ago is because it's not just about what I will do as president. It is also about what you, the people who love this country, the citizens of the United States of America, can do to change it. That's what this election is all about. We have been told we cannot do this by a fourth system. You want to grow louder. You've been asked to pause for reality check. That's why tonight belongs to you. The people of this nation belongs to the organizers. But in the volunteers and the staff who believed in this journey and rallied so many others to join the cause. We know the battle ahead will be long. But always remember that no matter what obstacles stand in our way, nothing stands in the way of the power of millions of voices calling for change. We have been told we cannot do this by a chorus of sinners. They will only grow louder and more difficult. We are one people. We've been asked to pause for a reality check. We've been warned against offering people of this nation false hope. But in the unlikely story that is America, there has never been anything false about hope. For when we have faced down impossible odds, we've been told we're not ready, or that we shouldn't try, or that we can't. Generations of Americans have responded with a simple creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Of every generation, if we are to make our mark on history, where we cast aside the doubts and we cast aside the fear,
and we cast aside the cynicism, and we stand up for what we genuinely believe. This is our moment. This is our time.
This is the meaning of our liberty and our creed, why men and women and children of every race and every faith can join in celebration across this magnificent mall, and why a man whose father less than 60 years ago might not have been served at a local restaurant can now stand before you to take a most sacred oath. Remembrance of who we are and how far we have traveled. In the year of America's birth, in the coldest of months, a small band of patriots huddled by dying campfires on the shores of an icy river. The capital was abandoned. The enemy was advancing. The snow was stained with blood. At a moment when the outcome of our revolution was most in doubt, the father of our nation ordered these words be read to the people. Let it be told to future worlds that in the depth of winter, when nothing but hope and virtue could survive, that the city and the country, alarmed at one common danger, came forth to meet it. America, in the face of our common danger, in this winter of our hardship, let us remember these timeless words. With hope and virtue, let us brave once more the icy currents and endure what storms may come. Let it be said by our children's children that when we were tested, we refused to let this journey end, that we did not turn back nor did we falter. And with eyes fixed on the horizon and God's grace upon us, we carried forth that great gift of freedom and delivered it safely to future generations. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
We cannot do this by a chorus of sinners. It will
only
grow
louder and more difficult.
We've been asked to pause for a reality check. We've been warned against offering the people of this nation false hope.
But in the unlikely
story
that is America,
there has never
been
anything false
about hope.
The little girl who goes to the public school in Dillon are the same as the dreams of boy who learns on the streets of L.A.
We will remember that there's something happening in America.
That we are not as divided as our politics suggest. That
we
are one
people.
We are one nation. And together we will begin the next great chapter in the American story with three words that will ring from coast to coast, from sea to shining sea. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes.
This is Our Common Ground. I'm Janice Grant, and I'll be listening for you.
Well, that was interesting. That was, how do you say that? It was very, very inspiring. We have come to a point where we have seen the last 21 months, and that's been 21 months of an ongoing campaign to delegitimize, to criticize, to offer up false fronts, to lie, to do all the things to turn and make this man different. We speak about what we have done as a people. And this man has been president, and he's got a lot of things on his plate. I've criticized him for simply one thing, not fighting back. Not fighting back to a point where I don't expect President Obama to fight down, but I do expect him to fight. And when I say expect him to fight, I had, you know, expectations are one thing. No-brainers are another. To me, it's a no-brainer to give the opportunity for 180 of your nominees to go through a process. But then when you see that this process is so tainted and so jilted, and, the nefarious and insidious method by which your nominees are being treated, then you take a stance. You don't just recess a point 15 one recess and four the next recess while there are still 180 unseated or unappointed. They have shut this government down on purpose in the Senate with the filibuster. Why would it not be a rules change on the filibuster? You could not, Harry Reid could not see this coming. Schumer, Kerry, name them. Name which Democrat dropped the ball on seeing this filibuster scenario coming.
Mm-hmm. But I think that as I listened to, and that took us from the Democratic National Convention here in Boston when John Kerry was nominated as the Democratic candidate for president along with John Edwards, and the nation had never really seen Barack Obama, and it took us all the way into his inaugural speech, gave us a little bit of his Philadelphia speech and some campaign trail speeches where he honed the spirit of yes I can, yes we can, and hope, and the audacity of hope. And when I hear that, Alpha, one of the things that I think about is how I thought that it would imbue a spirit of fierceness, a spirit of courage in people of goodwill in the Congress, give them the permission, give them the stage and the landscape to be more courageous than Democrats and progressives had ever been, and that didn't happen. And you're right. It's the attack that has precipitated something very much like a balloon being deflated. Hey, Alpha, we've got a call, and for those of you who would like to join us in this conversation, our number at Our Common Ground is 347-838-9852. We're going to go to our caller, and when we come back, Alpha, I want to take a look at how the demonization, what the character of this attack on this president. 405, you're on the air. I respect you, Hotep. Thank you for calling, and who are you and where you're calling from?
Well, this is Doc Dine.
I'm calling
from Texas. This is Don.
Oh, Don. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I've been
Doc
on the road.
Doc Don, you're not in the chat room. You caught me by surprise.
Yeah, I did. I'm out of state. and I am visiting my daughter, so I'm not able to log in the way that I have wanted to, but I can see the chat room, but I had to call in. Let you know
what's
that I'm
on your
supporting
mind?
You, and that I was wanted to hear Alpha, but I was traveling. Tell you what we have here. We've got a good man, but we have the wrong man in office. And I know some of them are saying, yeah, he's doing a good job. And I beg to differ. He's doing a good job. For whom is he doing a good job? How has our condition been uplifted for the masses of people? Now, granted, he has done some things that helped lift the ship for everyone. This man has not identified with black people in a manner that he has identified with everyone else, period. And so as much as I like him, I voted for him. If I have to, probably will vote for him again. If we have to face the sorry individuals that we have in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party or whatever party you have, Green Party, they don't have anybody that's on the horizon that has the type of character that is needed. We have a class of individuals now, civil rights leadership, ministers, we've got athletes, we've got entertainers, and either through their ignorance, selfish greed, or whatever, they've squandered any limited opportunity for us to succeed and get ahead. And so we've got to get beyond that. We've got to get back into the legalities of 1866. Go back when we were freed, and let's get and dwell on the economic opportunities of economic parity, not socialization, not integration. It hasn't gotten us anywhere, and I'm not a segregationist. I believe that we can live and get along just like other communities that have their own communities, take care of their communities, protect their communities with their language, with their hiring processes. When you go into the Chinese village, you see any blacks working in the Chinese village? Maybe a few here and there. You go into the Hispanic arena, unless you entiende español, se habla, trabajo, mucho dinero, poquito dinero, no trabajo ese. That's what they tell you. Unless you can do that and communicate and try to fit in, you have nothing there. So we're left out here by ourselves trying to align. We align with every doggone group you can name. We've aligned, and excuse me, I'm getting a little bit excited here, but I'm just telling the truth. We've aligned ourselves with every aggrieved group that say they aggrieved, to include white women, illegal immigrants, as Sharpton and Jackson and all of them running out to Arizona, other minorities, religious groups, ethnic groups, handicapped people, gays. We've aligned ourselves with any group that has a grievance except our own black race. And that's how come we're in the pitiful condition that we find ourselves in today, bottom of the economic ladder in this country, yet these groups have usurped our language, have usurped and adapted themselves to our struggle, and have advanced beyond where we are, and yet we're still extending the hand of welcome. Come on in, join us. For what? What in the hell do you want them to join you for? What have they done for us?
Well,
what has this president done?
Let me try to get into a conversation with you, Don, about this. one of the things, the interesting things you said was that he is, in terms of character, in terms of competencies and skills and knowledge, the best that we have seen. And that you voted for him.
Yes, because anybody would listen to that speech, if you wouldn't vote for him, something wrong with you. The Black Hope,
okay.
The Black Hope, hell yeah, I voted for him. I mean, everybody and their grandpa should have been voting for him after that speech that he gave. I mean, that would have made the dead come to life.
Okay. So.
But I'm looking at performance. I'm not looking at the rhetoric. I'm looking at the performance and who you have aligned yourself with. Who did you bring into your cabinet?
Mm-hmm.
The Jewish bankers, the economic Wall Street. That's where the rub comes in with me, and I was willing to stand out there and give him an opportunity to try to. Go ahead,
Don. Do you think that that his performance is so significantly affected by the nature of the office that
I
somehow?
Think so.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
Sure, it's the nature of the office. I mean, the office is the, what can I say? It's Pharaoh's office.
So, maybe where we are strategically wrong is thinking that somehow the presidency is going to affect the outcome of what we want.
Exactly, Janice. Connect the dots.
Yes.
Connect the dots.
And the thing is, there is no doubt that this man is more skilled in terms of governing, more knowledgeable, more competent than any president that we have ever seen. But
yes.
He is the president of the United States. And
correct.
Somehow we have accepted as a country that the president has no relationship to outcomes, initiatives, and input of our day-to-day lives as American citizens. And maybe
that's where
we need to go. Hey, Don, I've got another call, and I've got to go to break. You enjoy your daughter. And I think that you have reminded of some things. But I do want to pass this by you, and I want to pass this by Alpha as well. And that is that somehow between his 2008 or 2000, whatever, the Boston Democratic National Committee,
mm-hmm.
and his inauguration, that we have allowed him to come out of find it necessary to move out of a place of strength and courage, even in his rhetoric. Because some things have happened that we allowed happen. We allowed it to pass. All of the hatefulness, all of the attacks. Because, you know, the foundation of my thinking on all of this is
mm-hmm.
he is a way through to poor people, black people, and brown people to disenfranchise them. He's simply the icon. And the attack is really on us. Don, thank you so much for your call. Have a good time in Texas. When are you going back to Oklahoma?
I'll be back probably Monday, but I just want to leave you with this. Just remember that our salvation is in the legal system to try, just like the American Indians, to make this government give us the entitlements that we are guaranteed economic opportunity. We cannot, and we need to get rid of these so-called leaders that we have who have just selfishly through just squandered our limited opportunities away. We have put too much trust in these people. We have to get off our duffs and begin to do for ourselves and get involved at the local levels and begin to think about how are we going to affect change, because we're not going to be here too long if it continues the way it continues. And thank you very much, Janice. I like your show. Alpha, my brother, thank you. I appreciate you. And everybody in that chat room, enjoy.
Well, Alpha has me on timeout because I had a fit on one of his callers today. But we'll tell you about that next week. Don, as he's called, we're so glad to hear from you. Alpha, Don brings it down to where you understand it to your day-to-day life.
Well, what Don brings to us, and what Don basically expresses is he's absolutely right. And when you look at he doesn't at this point, even his rhetoric has been toned, beaten down. And
when
we say we have allowed this.
Yes, we have allowed it. We have allowed it.
Okay,
we absolutely have allowed it. Hey, Alpha, when we come back, we can talk about how we have allowed it, and we're going to take a look at what we have allowed. 571, I see you on the line, and we'll come right back to you after this break. You're listening to Our Common Ground at Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
We must remember always that accusation is not proof, and that conviction depends upon evidence and due process of law. And remember that we are not descended from fearful men, not from men who feared to write, to associate, to speak, and to defend the causes that were for the moment unpopular. Cassius was right. The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves. Good night, and good luck.
It is with sound mind and body that I, James Fredericks III, after fighting with all direct family members for decades, leave my entire fortune of $32 million to the one friend I had in the end, the package delivery guy, Matt Sunger.
Woohoo! Yeah! I had a feeling about this. Uh-huh! I'm rich! Oh, this cannot be happening.
Actually, it's not happening.
What?
And it never will.
I don't get it.
There aren't even people here. That's just one of those murmuring sound effects.
Seriously?
Listen, if you want to have money in your future, don't rely on luck.
Huh.
Put $10 away each month. Cook once in a while instead of eating out.
Okay.
Pay down your high-interest credit card.
Right.
Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow.
So, no inheritance?
No. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And just to be clear, no inheritance, right?
You're listening to Our Common Ground at Blog Talk Radio.
This is Janice Graham with my host, Alpha. Stay with us and we'll be right back.
Against the people's lawful selection. Hard question. What if the Tea Party was black? Holding guns like the Black Panther Party was back. If Al was Rush Limbaugh and Jesse was Sean Hannity and Tavis was Glenn Beck, would you harm their families? If Sarah Palin was suddenly just a soldier, would you leave it to the voters and go and get the soldiers? Y'all know if the Tea Party was black, the gun.
Yeah, Alpha, we have to ask, what if the Tea Party was black? We want to welcome all of you here at Our Common Ground tonight on Saturday night open mic, and we're so pleased to have with us some newcomers, but one of our old friends, Rags, I love you, brother, still, and we're glad to hear from you and to see you tonight. East Coast Sam is in the house, and Brother Raphael, welcome. Navaxor and a house music lover, Twee 1968, all Atheist Radio, all in our chat room, and if you'd like to join them in their chat about the fear of a black president, you are welcome to do so at blogtalkradio.com/OCG. My co-host tonight is Alpho. Alpho, you know, I think that one of the successes of this decade will be the successful demonization of this president, his agenda, and the people that support him.
Well, let's look at this. Let's look at this demonization of this president. When you speak about the trial balloons that have been floated and unanswered, there's been no pushback to the rhetoric, to the innuendo, to the snark and lies and speculation. You know, the crystal ball gazing. This president isn't here to protect us. And like I said, I don't expect him to fight down, but I did expect him to have some surrogates who would, some people who would come before the cameras constantly. And I give you this scenario over and over again. You know, the Republicans have come to the microphones on a daily basis, 10, 15, 20 a day at a time. This is notwithstanding the voices from the right-wing AM dial, which are 450 strong, as opposed to the 90 from the left side.
This you mean voices like, you're talking about these voices?
On 9/12/2001, did the people of this nation compare George W. Bush to Hitler? To Hitler, Lenin, Stalin, and Fidel Castro? On 9/12/2001, did anyone not affiliated with Al-Qaeda threaten the president's life? Did they denigrate the ancestry and skin color of President Bush while calling him a liar? How about a blood-sucking alien? Or an illegal alien? Or the devil? On 9/12/2001, did a pro-life organization and its mass production of signs try to unite the country by using the death of a senator to bury any piece of legislation? Not only is it unthinkable to imagine similar signs in the wake of the 9/11 attacks, it is difficult to believe any politician affiliated with a major political party would condone such behavior. Not so the Republican Party of 2009. Georgia Congressman Tom Price and Phil Gingrich were in attendance, as was Tennessee Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn. South Carolina Senator Jim DeMint even addressed the crowd.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Waterloo. My friends, I join you today not as a U.S. senator, but as a fellow freedom-loving American. I'm not here to speak to you, but to stand with you. And to join my voice with yours. It is time that the President and the Congress stop lecturing us and start listening to us. Too many Americans have fought and died for our freedom. For us to give it away with apathy and silence. This is a critical battle for the heart and soul of America and for freedom itself.
One man saving freedom is another man's fomenting of hatred. Senator DeMint also claimed that the attendees were a cross-section of America. If by cross-section he meant white, whiter, and whitest.
Truly concerned about the heartbeat of our country. They're taking our liberties away. It's tyranny. It's a Gestapo-type tactic.
There's too much involvement in the government. We can take care of ourselves. I didn't vote for him, but I didn't necessarily have anything against what he was saying. You know, he gets into office, and it's like all the things that I was kind of afraid of really happen.
They can have my country when they pry it from my cold, dead fingers.
And I think their agenda is to slowly but surely take away everything that we've worked for and everything the Constitution stands for.
All the czars that he picked are all either communists or
don't want to be a guinea pig for the experiment they have with the population control.
He's going after our kids to try to indoctrinate them into a national defense army, and we're not going to let him do it.
We're kind of the ultimate check and balance, I suppose. I don't want a revolution. I don't want a civil war. I would hate for that to happen. But it is a possibility. It's there as an option, as a last resort, should our government turn on its own people.
A reminder of the brain trust who brought us Saturday's Intolerance Festival in the first place.
We weren't told how to behave that day after 9/11. We just knew it was right. It was the opposite of what we feel today. Let us find ourselves and our solutions together again with the 9 founding principles and the 12 eternal values. This is the 9/12 Project.
Are you ready to be that person that you were that day after 9/11 on 9/12? I told you for weeks, you're not alone. I'm turning into a frickin' televangelist.
You're allowed to challenge and criticize and disagree without being a racist. I mean, it's just...
allowed to be angry.
You know, it makes me sad that people are being bigoted toward Joe Wilson and assuming because he heckled the president that he's a racist simply because he's from the South.
That's...
We had Lawrence O'Donnell come on this show and denigrate an entire state. Where
right.
Joe Wilson is from, dredging up things from 100 years back. And that makes me sad. I hope this sort of bigotry and hatred, we can get past it.
But you see, Alpha, part of the problem is we think that what these people are saying is the problem, but it is not. It is the result of the attack. It is the result of the orchestration.
Dennis, what you've played, and I mean, let's face it, when you look at it, when you step back and look at it, this is an orchestrated effort from the right with the help of not just Fox News, not with just the voices coming from the right, but the mainstream media itself has sat silent, real journalism. Has sat silent. Republican leaders have sat silent. Even Republicans who were moderate. Colin Powell. People like Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice sat silent. If you want to look at what the biggest problem of this is that no one stood out front. The so-called black leaders did not stand up when this first.
You're absolutely right.
None of them stood up.
But,
and you saw the NAACP show up 11, 12 months late, and they were alone. And when they were alone, they were attacked and beaten.
But let me give you another example. The NAACP showed up within hours of the Shirley Sherrod video.
And to
but
denounce her.
When the attacks began on Barack Obama and the principles that he stood for, they never showed up. Alpha, let's go to our phones and we'll get more, hopefully, comments about this. Our number is 347-838-9852 to join in on this conversation and hear your voice. 571, you're on the air. I respect you. What's your take on all of this?
Hello, Apple and Janice.
Hello there, Maze. How are you? Good to hear from you.
I am just marvelous. Don't say it, Apple. You're going to get it. Huh. It's just like I said, it takes time. You're going to get it. You'll be surprised. But anyway, my take on this whole thing that I see. Have you ever watched anybody that had to see a change? They go into all kind of rages and fits and just because they don't want to see change and they do weird things and crazy things. But you got to look at somebody that's got to go through a change and they never seen it before and don't want to do it. And it's a fight.
You're right.
And then I sit back and I look at
it. It's a temper tantrum. It's a hatred tantrum.
Then I look at when you was playing the going back in the time when Obama first spoke, and then after he was doing his election and everything, I'm like, son, now if you take the soundbite of the people away, he's standing by himself. Isn't he? Everybody
mm-hmm.
was with him.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the crowd that used to be around him? If they had the crowd that used to be around him, it'll fight off some of this stupidity from his own party, from the Republican Party, and the people that don't even want him to be there. But as long
That's
as that
right.
those people that was around him in silence, it's going to always look like he's not doing anything. But you know he's doing something. And you can see what he's doing, but then you got this whole group out there just screaming and hollering because they don't want to see change. That's
so you're asking, where are the soldiers of Yes We Can? Where
yes.
are the Hope Generals? Where are they?
A lot of them sit back complaining that, well, he's not doing what he should be doing for certain people. He didn't come in for certain people. He came, what he's doing, he's making a change around the world. It's not only America. And that's why they're screaming hot, because I say his own party don't want him there. Some of the senators that sit there don't want to see him there because if they did all of the stupid stuff these people say, they will come out and speak out about it. They don't say nothing. And then you got this media, as they call the liberal media. They all in lockstep together. And then what I saw that crowd was Glenn Beck. That's the crowd that they do their surveys on. Because everybody
mm-hmm.
else sitting
mm-hmm.
around looking like, they didn't call me. So that little bit of group that we saw with Glenn Beck is the one that we have to get there. Yes, we can back to. And let them know we can.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
they think he's standing
mm-hmm.
alone. But as long as they think he's standing alone, who's going to stand up with him?
You're absolutely right. Mays, I'm glad to hear from you tonight. I thought maybe the ring of Yes We Can would bring you out.
I still have it, and I would not lose it, and I'm going to carry it with me everywhere I go because I deal with those nuts every day.
Well,
just
thank
to let
you.
Them know
thank
that they
you
gonna get ready
so
for
much, Mays, for your call. You
and when it comes,
you made your
yes.
What? Mays, are you still there? Oh, Mays hung up. But you know, Mays is one of the people that has been just so loyal to this president. Loyal beyond some. The kind of loyalty that others might not have. Hey, Alpha, I got this other thing that, you know, when the Democrats abandoned him and abandoned the spirit of hope and Yes We Can and courage because they simply didn't have the balls. They didn't have the balls to carry it off. Even the good ones. And I'm talking about Kucinich. I'm talking about Mr. from Vermont. Because they had their own agenda. Even Barney Frank has his own agenda. So these ill-informed, misinformed, white supremacists carried the ball. And here we have it.
This is the site of my confession. I am the fruit of your labor. I am the offspring of the movement. So when people ask me whether I've been to Selma before, I tell them I'm coming home.
Barack the Magic Negro lives in D.C. The L.A. Times, they call him that because he's not authentic.
Trump efforts would ensure illegal immigrants.
And a guy from the L.A.
This, too, is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegal.
He's not from the hood. See real black men like Snoop Dogg.
His associations and business life and early adult life matter. The people that mentor him matter. And we're finding out this guy's got a chip on his shoulder. He's angry at this country. He's not proud of it. He talked about health care last night. He never once talked about
the reason that he's considered such a big deal is simply because he's black.
He is a black candidate surrounding himself with a lot of white advisors.
Neither one of us can point to one thing Barack Obama has done for African Americans.
Well, first of all...
Well, nothing.
Fine, balanced journalism.
The senator's middle name.
Barack Hussein Obama.
If his middle name is Hussein, what is wrong with people that bring up his middle name?
Because his father was Muslim and named him Barack Hussein Obama.
What they're doing is they're linking him with a loaded image. It's unfair to do such a thing.
Well, of course, it's patently unfair. Unfortunately, Obama's been laden with a name that causes Al-Qaeda problems.
Now, right there, see, right, you said been laden and then Al-Qaeda.
What do we really know about Barack Obama? His team works overtime trying to hide Obama's dirty little secret. He is, get this, a cigarette smoker.
He's a smoker.
Would you vote for a smoker as president?
I think the smoking issue comes back to bite him in the hindquarters.
Maybe we want somebody like that in the White House.
What else do we not know about Barack Obama?
There's kind of been a drip, drip, drip of stuff. His middle name, Hussein. Now the news that he was raised a Muslim.
Apparently, when he was a young boy, he attended a Muslim school, a madrasa.
This is huge.
He went to this madrasa for 4 years.
Went to a madrasa.
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 CNN did what any serious news organization is supposed to do. We actually conducted an exclusive first-hand investigation.
And we wanted to know how this innocent elementary school became this false report. Obama calls the story a smear.
This is a public school. We don't focus on religion, he told me. In our daily lives, we try to respect religion, but we don't give preference to one or the other.
So the smear went from Insight to Fox to talk radio to everywhere. Mark Twain once said that a lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is still putting on its shoes.
We'd like to have him on because, you know, we're going to be the home of the 2008 presidential election.
Steve, would you let him do weather if he came back?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. We're just being fair.
And you see, also, it really is that this president, despite the many limitations of any president, no matter how they fall on principle, has become really an icon for an all-out attack on black people.
You're right. You're right. And as we, you know, as you sit and you listen to it, it is, he is simply the lightning rod. And this lightning rod is the total attack on black people, period.
Mm-hmm. And as it begins, see, this is where I have the problem. As it began, when we, who have come out of 400 years of oppression, understood at the very beginning that this is what it was, that it had nothing to do with the normal course of politics in this country, it had to do with fear of blackness in this country. And this is where the whole thing, what do you say, to kill two birds with one stone?
Right.
If you demonize, this man is the president of the United States of America, and no matter what he does, it does not matter.
Exactly. That's like the rich athlete and the black athlete who has it all. When it gets down to that traffic stop in the middle of the night, you will always be a nigger.
Exactly.
First and foremost. And, you know, the word in and of itself is so, you know, so devastating, but that's the truth. I don't care about the office of the presidency, and this is what they're saying. They don't care about the office of the presidency. And you hear them always say, because you disagree with his policies. Well, you're not disagreeing with his policies because you look to frame his policies and you lie about his policies. That is your speculation of his policies. And if you look at he's bad for business, if you look at he wants reparations, and that's what they push. And that's the lie they push, and that's how they inflame
And what is that? That's just code language, and we all understand it. Our number is 347-838-9852 to join in this conversation. You're listening to Our Common Ground. We're going to take a little break because you're absolutely right. I want to come back to that because it really is all about we want our country back. I'm Janice Graham, and he's Alpha, and we'll be right back.
This is Our Common Ground. I'm Janice Graham, and I'll be listening for you.
Yeah, I'd like to make a little respectful criticism here about C-SPAN. The last two guys I know were white guys, but you have black folks calling in on the Republican line, independents, and you have so many of them, I can't believe this is just an accident. If you keep on with the way you've been programming, you should change your name from C-SPAN to BlackSPAN. I mean, I know they have an opinion, but I wish that they would be honest and call in on the right line. Every one of them thinks that Obama is Jesus Christ, and they don't like when anybody criticizes him. Well, I didn't hear all this anger when George Bush was in. I mean, all they did was criticize George Bush every day. You'd hear, he lied, all this stuff. And I don't know how so many of these folks, if they're 10% or 12% of the population, seems to be 80% of your callers. Now, I don't know what you can do about it, but I'm just about ready, and I think a lot of other Republicans and conservatives are just about ready just to go somewhere else.
There are so many fun things about that.
Orlando, Ron on the Democratic line. Good morning.
Good morning. I don't know why people say thank you for C-SPAN so much when you all blatantly cut people off as soon as they have something important to say. And I think that to replace Michael Steele, they ought to get O.J. Simpson to run, because every nigger in town.
All right. I want to know why I'm fine one minute and the next my body aches so bad I can't move.
I want to know why my hair is falling out. I'm only 17. I'm tired all the time. Now this rash. I just want to know what's going on.
When you don't have the right answers, it may be time to ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Hi out there, this is Janice Graham of Our Common Ground. Want to remind you of some of the terrific broadcast shows available to all you talkers. The India Declare Show, Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. and Saturday at 11 a.m. The Alpha Show, every Saturday, 3 p.m. And following that 3 p.m. broadcast, he's at TruthWorks Network at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And don't forget of all the audio documentary being provided at TruthWorks Network here at Blog Talk Radio. I'm Janice Graham, and I'm sure me and my friends will be listening for you.
I think
an overwhelming portion of the intensely demonstrated animosity toward President Barack Obama is based on the fact that he is a black man.
Thank you for being here with us at Our Common Ground.
I live in the South, and I've seen the South come a long way, and I've seen the rest of the country
speaking truth to power
attitude
and ourselves.
Minority groups at that time, particularly African Americans. That racism information still exists. And I think it's bubbled up to the surface because of a belief among many white people, not just in the South but around the country, that African Americans are not qualified to lead this great country. It's an abominable circumstance and grieves me and concerns me very deeply.
President Carter.
Also, you see, we're just dealing with the problem that they manufactured. All of these people are running around, and they are believing just this series, this campaign that distracts from the real issues in this country. And they have found that without information, without knowledge, without being informed, being willfully informed, and being urged into it by some very deep-seated feelings and understanding of black people, African-American people, brown people in this country, that this is how they take their country back, because they are compelled to, because of incompetence, because of this is not the way it's supposed to be.
Isn't that the same battle cry that brought us the Civil War? Isn't that the same rise of the Confederacy? And you remember the little port, that little time slot where South Carolina was dismissing and Virginia was dismissing the role of slavery played in this nation and how everybody wanted to go back to states' rights, and they still do. But the governor of Mississippi, you see, this is what is wrong. This is what is so obvious. And when black people complain and speak about the ongoing racism, white, the first thing white people want to say is object. They push back immediately. And when they speak ill of us, we take it and sit silent. And that's why that perception carries the day, because no one will push back instantly. And that therein lies our problem. All of these things, the protection of Joe Wilson after he did what was unspeakable, heckled the president and on the House floor.
Mm-hmm.
After that's
an example of behavior that we live with the problems every day. I mean, I have never felt the kind of racial tension. I have never, that I feel in my day-to-day dealings in the world. I mean, I have never tempered or been particularly considerate about comments or discussion and the way in which I participate in discussions about politics as I am today, because I end up doing what I did on your show this morning in real life. And for those of this afternoon, for those of you who do not know, I went on, and I'm so sorry. I keep saying I'm sorry. I really am sorry for that, Alpha. I went on an absolute rampage on a caller on Alpha's show today, and Alpha, I'm listening to the message.
Alpha, you better be quiet, because you will start making Janice cry. We don't have no cussing at Our Common Ground.
We'll have no cussing at Our Common Ground. I've been put in my place. But you notice she was saying that you better be careful what you say, Alpha. Our number here at Our Common Ground is 347-838-9852. And we would enjoy a call from you, because I think that we've got to get it right in how we think about these things, how we process these things, because I'm not seeing so much of what Teabaggers and what Glenn Beck had to say last week and how people have responded to what he had to say so much as toward the president as it is toward me.
Well,
and we have got to say, you know, Alpho, I have to say this. As black people, we have got to stop feeling guilty, trying to rationalize white supremacy.
Well, that's what you have.
We have got to look at the world through our African eyes, which is why at TruthWorks, we're trying to provide as much learning about how we got to where we are and why we are as a people, why we think. We know. I mean, I've been living 60 years. I know when I see and hear racist comments and behaviors. I know the code language of white supremacy. And we've got to stop apologizing for it.
And that's what we have. You have people who are willing to engage in this behavior and then somehow step back and go, well, I'm not a racist. And all the while they're accusing you of what they're most guilty of. And that's what you see on a daily basis now, every single day. I don't care where it comes from. I don't care who says it. What they are doing is simply ignoring the criticism and full steam ahead with the racism, with the division of this nation, and it's turned into a dry kindling scenario where all you have to do is strike a match, and this country will go up in flames.
Well, I'm not so sure if we're already up in flames or not. I really am not. Our number is 347-838-9852 if you'd like to join into this conversation. I think that Rags in our chat room was absolutely right. We dropped the ball. I think Brother Raphael is making some good points, that we have to start saying to the Armstrong Williams, to the Juan Williams, to the Warren Ballantyne, and Warren Ballantyne is trying to do better, but he's so confused and he needs to start over in terms of his learning. We've got to start saying, you know, for instance, one of the reasons that I didn't attend the march last week was some of the people. We got to be careful about who we associate with. You know, we've got, simply because you have an audience of 8 million people every day or whatever it is, doesn't make, and simply because you have celebrityhood, does not make you an advocate for black empowerment. It does not. You earn those stripes. You know, one of the reasons, one of the definitions of a warrior is that a warrior is persistent, consistent on the message and the engagement. And we're not seeing a lot of that. I mean, I'm not trying to beat up on people, but you know, we speak truth to power and ourselves here. This, our language at our common ground is truthiness.
Well, Janice,
you know, I see that Sister Afia is in from the U.S. Human Rights Network is in our chat room. If we can't connect the dots between our engagement, our advocacy on human rights in prisons, in our jails, on our streets, in our homes, if we don't support the notion of protecting women and children from violence, protecting our teenagers from violence, if we're not engaged in that, those are issues of human rights. Our children ought to have a human right to be safe. Women have a human right to be safe. We as a people have a right not to be the victims of predatory lending, predatory consumer goods, or financial, corporate harassment and victimization. And that's talking about redlining and interest rates. That's talking about mortgages. That's talking about all these frigging. I went off the bat today to the man that I love. I went off the bat on him. We were going through the black community here in Boston. Why are there so many used car lots inside residential areas in the city of Boston? So if we're not invested in that, I just like I said to you on your show today, I'm not having these conversations no damn more. That's just the bottom line. I am not a rent a Negro to explain to you who you are as a person. If you want to know who you are, if you want to claim that you're not racist, then go do the work.
The claim of I'm not a racist because I don't agree with his policies is nothing more than a front. It's cold. It's a dog whistle. If you don't believe in tax cuts for 98% of the American people, if you are in that category where you benefit from the tax cuts and yet you are still out there bumping your gums against it, if you don't understand that your children are going to get health care because they can stay on their parents' policy until they're 26 years old, if they are willing to let people die from lack mm-hmm. of health care,
mm-hmm.
then they are willing to crater a country and bring a country to its economic knees. And that's what they are doing, and that's what they have
mm-hmm.
done, all to regain power. And the people who are most affected, the people who are not just disenfranchised, but the people who are just simply disinterested, who bear no interest in what's going on, even though they will be more adversely affected than anyone else. These
You're
are the
absolutely
people
right.
who not show up at the polls. They can talk all day, but they are more people, and all they have to do is get to the polls, and all of this would be a moot point. If you
right.
want to get rid of your Social Security and your Medicare, vote Republican or stay home. Either one will accomplish older people losing their Medicare and Social Security because that's where it's going.
Yep. Our number is 347-838-9852 to join the discussion here at Our Common Ground. We're going to go to our phone, 773. You're on the air. I respect you, Hotep.
Hey, Janice Alpho.
House music lover. Good to hear from you.
How you doing, House?
I'm good. It's good to talk to y'all and hear y'all. I got to check out Alpha's show early today. I was in the room, but I had to leave, so I didn't hear a chance for you to go off on whoever you went off on. So that's going to be my
Oh, it was a good one. And since you're still in Ramadan, I'm glad I spared you.
Should I wait till it's over? Should I wait till it's
over? Yes.
All right. I'm making money. All right.
What are you thinking about this attack on President Obama and on black people in this country?
No, I think you guys are mostly right on most things, but I don't the one problem I have with the president is that he didn't do anything to fend it off. He helped it along. I was listening to a radio program, I think it was yesterday or Thursday, and he played a quote from I believe it was Eisenhower after he was trying to establish one of these social programs. And I can't quote it, I can't remember exactly, but he said something to the effect that all of these top people they want to kill me, basically. They're trying to get at me. because, you know, they think I'm taking some money from him or whatever. And his response was, come on, let's go. Mm-hmm. Come after me. Because he was going to do what he felt was right for the
people. I'm waiting. You know, I agree with you to a certain extent. I agree that I'm always holding my breath, hoping that he'll say, wait one damn minute here. Hold up.
Right.
This is what has gone down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance, he's allowed his distractors and the people who are attacking, this is a racial, full frontal attack on black people and this black president. And I'm waiting for him to say, I'm taking all this crap that you're trying to wrap around my neck, and one by one, I'm going to disassemble it. So you all just sit down, and this is not a fireside chat. This is a chat next to the hole from hell that I'm sending all these people into.
I would love to hear him say it, but you played a clip a little bit ago, and he referenced that he wasn't a child of the civil rights movement, that he was a result or something to that extent.
He was a beneficiary, and he was not. He was very young.
Right, exactly.
You know, I have loads and loads of friends. I have loads and loads of friends, and I'm always asking, you know, that are from Harvard Law School, because I was in school here too. But then I think about it. My son-in-law was in Barack Obama's class at Harvard Law School.
Hmm.
That's how young he is.
Right, right, right. Well, no,
you know, we have to take that into account.
Well, I get
he
that,
was
but...
not, and the Joshua. You know, I hear Roland Martin always talking about the Joshua generation, and I did some research to figure out what the hell, and then my love of my life said to me, "You're of the Moses generation."
Exactly, Joshua being second generation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And a lot of young people of that generation talk about themselves in terms of having been disengaged, not involved, not having insight, which is why one of the reasons we started the Gray Hair Witnesses for Justice, because we were part of the generation. I lived in Jim Crow. We were part of the generation that watched the crossover. We can see what we lost, what we gained, and the aftermath of it all.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, there's a difference between Barack Obama's age and his experience, because keep in mind that he left Columbia, he went to Chicago, then he went back to law school. So he was a latecomer. He didn't go into law school right out of undergraduate school, as most law students do.
Mm-hmm.
So he did lose some time. And keep in mind, we always have to keep in mind that what sets him apart from descendants of the slave, that's why I always refer to him as African American.
Right, because his father was.
It's because his experience was African-American and not black. He is not a descendant of the slaves of America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with all
he
that.
He grew up in Hawaii, for crying out loud. You know how many black people when he was growing up was in Hawaii?
Well, I think he still got some of it just because of his color and of his background, but I don't think he got it all. I don't think he got
and he
it, but
could,
I got.
You know, but the thing is, you know, come on, house music lover. You know, when somebody successfully attacks you and challenges you, it shakes your very foundation. And I think that what he has lost, the greatest thing that he has lost, is his rhetorical power.
Mm-hmm.
He's lost that. I hope he can get it back.
He doesn't have that strength in his voice. And
exactly. The passion is not there.
Mm-hmm. I agree
exactly.
With that.
But yep.
But I, like I said, my whole point, though, was that he kind of brought it on himself by the way he approached or didn't approach the problems and the issues brought to him. And like you said, if he just, you know, stand up and shake them off like one time, that's all he really has to do. And,
you know, he missed his opportunity. This is where I think his political opportunity was. The first time that he approached a legislative initiative, mm-hmm. and there were Democrats who mm-hmm. did not support him,
yep.
he should have thrown them off the under the bus in the same way that he threw Reverend Jeremiah Wright under the bus.
That's true.
He should have done them in at that moment.
That's true. When I always tell people when it comes to a job, a corporation, when you come in as one of the top people, one of the things you'll see that a lot of folks will do, they'll fire somebody. They won't fire, like, the mail person. If there's somebody in there that needs to be gotten rid of, they'll fire somebody with a title because that puts everybody else on point.
Yeah, but who has he fired? Desiree Rogers and Van Jones.
Yeah, but that's
who he fired.
He should have even like just
can the black man come into the? Do you think as a black woman, a senior manager, I would go into a corporation and dare in the same century to fire two black people?
Right, exactly. So why not take Lieberman?
So that
make
that
an example
speaks
of Lieberman.
That,
take him off. Get rid of that post that he's head of. Just something. Do something other than Desiree Rogers and, you know.
And you know, the thing is that if he would take on the whole issue of this this attack on Social Security, on health care, on his health care plan, and on Medicare, mm-hmm. if he would step big, step mm-hmm. forward on those three issues as one issue.
Yeah, he'd win.
He could regain what he has lost.
He would be able to turn it around, absolutely, because as good as Republicans are at getting people to vote against their best interests, folks are not going to – they shouldn't be able to be convinced to vote against their interests in taking away those programs. Those are essential
exactly.
programs in the country now. So, no, you're right.
He could wipe them out on those three issues. Hey,
what's
House, I'm glad to hear from you, and we've got some other calls on the board, but – You're absolutely right. In many ways, he has brought a lot of this on himself. But both his political culturing and his personal culturing
mm-hmm.
lend itself to this.
Mm-hmm.
But then those of us who stand by, because see, when they're talking to Barack Obama, they're talking to me. It's just like a lot of parents will say, and I'm one of them. I agree. Mm-hmm. Alpha is one of them. You can say whatever you want to say about me, but you better not start talking about my daughter.
Right, right. I understand. You're protective
and
of
And that's
me.
The
I
way
get.
He ought to, and that's the way I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because
way,
I listen
I
to that
to feel
string.
About me.
Right. They're attacking me.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
You think,
well,
you think if they could come and get me and send me back to Mexico, back to Cuba, they damn sure would do it. Hey, House, thanks for your call. I appreciate it, and we'll talk some more.
No doubt. Ramadan Kareem.
Take care, House.
And blessings to you, my brother.
Okay.
Alpha, we've got 313 on the line. I respect you, Hotep, and thank you for your call.
Peace.
Who's calling, please? You got to have
Mr.
a moniker.
Mr.
I'm sorry? Good to hear from you, my brother.
Thank
What's
you
on your mind?
Well, I had just wanted to just ask a quick question in regards to, like, you know, y'all was talking about as far as certain things that Barack Obama is doing and, you know, in relationship to the situation we find ourselves in this place. But, like, I just wanted to ask a question, like, as far as, okay, you know, as far as, you know, where this country is headed or whatnot, and I guess the things that people feel that Mr. Barack Obama is doing to try to, I guess, they would say, get the country back to where it was, you know, when the manufacturing jobs and everything was there. But I wanted to ask a question as far as, like, you know, if this country was to get back to a time, you know, because I'm in Detroit, Michigan, you know, where, you know, the jobs was very plentiful with the big three being here and the difference of subsidiaries and the different jobs that created. I just feel that maybe it would be better, you know, for this place to, you know, take the natural, I guess you'll say the natural direction it should take. And the reason why I said this is because I see whether it goes south or whether it goes north. To me, in the mental, spiritual, and emotional, and, you know, cultural situation that I find that black people are in at this present time, it would seem that, like, this either would be a peaceful death or a violent death, you know, like. So I was wondering, like, as far as, like, if, like, what do y'all see this place, like, the situation of us being, if this place was, or, you know, Barack Obama was able to turn things around, so to speak?
Okay, let me try to summarize, and then we can hear from and get a response through Alpha for you. You're trying to say, on one hand, what if it gets worse? Then what do we do? On the other hand, how can we get it to be better? And then, on another hand, how can we go back to what we had? And I think if you're talking about healthy urban and suburban manufacturing and business and commerce, you're talking way back in the first term of Bill Clinton.
And it ain't going to happen. I have to be brutally honest. First of all, the table has been set. The table has been set, and you're not going to turn this around into a manufacturing hub of what we used to have. When you could come out of high school and get a job that will sustain and support a family. It is not going to happen because the table has been set. This is the globalization of our economy will not allow it to happen. If the only way it could happen would be to revisit the trade agreements, would be to tax and tariff any and all corporations with subsidiaries overseas that manufacture things and bring them back to the United States. Make it more costly to manufacture and bring it in than it is to make it here and put people back to work. And that's not going to happen. Detroit, you say you live in Detroit, my brother, get out of town. Run. Run as fast as you can because Detroit with 90, what is it? How many homes are boarded up? Something to the, 90,000 homes boarded up? Something to that effect? I think I heard somebody say that. That, you know, the level of I would have to say decaying of a big inner city such as Detroit with the, you know, with the big three, the car makers, the unions have been demonized, the unions are shrinking. The jobs for African Americans in that town are nil. Opportunity is nil. I don't want to be the trumpeter, the messenger of bad news. But this is obviously, you know, what is going to happen. To me, I would simply say this. If you cannot stand and demand that these elected officials do their job, then there's something wrong. But even more so, if the poor and disenfranchised will not even show up at the polls to vote because they are so in a dispirited way, that they are so devastated with their poverty, and they don't understand you can't just sit and wither away. You must stand and fight. Janice, you said something about this president missed an opportunity, and you were absolutely right. And that has been my criticism of him, and my only criticism of him is the low-hanging fruit that he has allowed to hit the ground and rot, because he's had that type of opportunity to stand. He still has an opportunity if he beats the Republicans up on Medicare, Social Security, and giving tax cuts to the wealthy. He can regain his mojo, but he's not going
One of the things that we conveniently forget about who we are as an African people in America, with a K, with two Ks, is that we today are in the same boat we were when Barack Obama was elected president. We didn't have jobs. We didn't have healthy educational infrastructure. Social services did not work for us. Our children were killing each other and being killed by law enforcement when Barack Obama was named president. Now, if you're talking about these people who are talking about they want their country back, I was in Jim Crow, so I don't know very much about what their country was about. So if they want that back, they're going to have to roll back some stuff for themselves. And I don't think that that is going to happen. But to the caller, I do want to say that this is not a president of something else or is different. This is a presidency, and it is being conducted in the same way that all presidencies are being conducted, and that is based on a formula for successful politics. If you want change, you're going to have to seek it, define it, and then you're going to have to implement it. And that means that we have got to get off our duffs and define what is successful educational infrastructure for our children. What are they reading and why they are reading it, and what are they being taught and why are they being taught it? Otherwise, you know, if there's a saying, and to the caller, if this is your first time being at Our Common Ground, there is a saying, you keep doing what you're doing, you keep getting what you're getting. So every president will do what it takes, as Afia in our chat room is saying, to get the second term. Bill Clinton became a Republican
to get the second term.
To get his second term.
That's what they're going to do.
Jimmy Carter became a Republican to get his second term. Ike Eisenhower became a Democrat to get his second term.
And if the Republicans take back the House, there will be no second term. I guarantee,
that's right.
I can guarantee that, because the one thing that this president does not have the courage to do, and I'll say it over and over and over again, is stand and fight. The Democrats are already waffling on extending Bush tax cuts to the very wealthy. And if they waffle, if they fail to allow them to expire and allow the Bush tax cuts to be extended, oh, let's extend them for another year. That's what they'll beat him with, because that will add $681 billion to the deficit that they now so decry is too high and is taking from our grandchildren. And he will allow it to happen because they will have put pushed him that way. He may as well listen to Fox and the Shirley Sherrod scenario, because right now we are in the crosshairs of the right-wing neocon.
Yeah, yeah.
Go to war.
Holly, thank
Iran.
You so much for your call. Go ahead,
Alba. No problem.
We will go to war with Iran. We will, because he will be pushed that way. They will tell him how he's not keeping us safe, how unpatriotic, how un-American all of this is. Janice, just on a side note, I got an email from a Newsmax saying that Louis Farrakhan agrees that the mosque should be built where it's planned to be built. Now they've brought
Louis Farrakhan. I wonder why you got that.
Yeah, yeah, and they're going to he spoke at the National Press Corps Club, I believe. And this is exactly what he said. And he basically agreed that this Islamic Center should be built exactly where it's supposed to be. This
mm-hmm.
is nothing more than racism, and that, and he called it out. I'll put it like this. If he were president, we wouldn't have this problem. He calls it like he sees it. And he called
mm-hmm.
him out. He called it out. It's just racism. The voices of racism are being heard loud and clear because the media is allowing this dirty water to be carried as so-called moderate Republicans sit and remain silent. When those racists attacked the imam that George Bush offered up, and George Bush sat silent, what does that tell
yep.
you?
Yep. We've got one more call. You've got about 2 minutes, 313. I respect you. Thank you for joining us on Our Common Ground. Hotep, who's calling? Hello? 313.
I thought we just had 313.
Well, maybe we did.
Well, Janice, you know.
347, you're on the air.
Thanks. Thank you. I'm speaking to you as Benjamin Solomon. Anyway, I was gonna tell you guys about Obama, about the conservative opposition being opposed to Obama because of his policies, not because of his skin color. But now that you bring up Louis Farrakhan, I think it's pretty hypocritical, basically, to say that opponents of that Ground Zero mosque are racist, and then to bring up Louis Farrakhan and say that he says how it is. Need I remind the viewers that Louis Farrakhan is an anti-Semite?
Well, you may think Louis Farrakhan is an anti-Semite, Benjamin Solomon, but we do not. Thank you for your call. You know, one of the things that I think we have an opportunity to do here, Alpha, in this country, at this time in our political growth, maturity, development, and distortion, is to have people understand that as a people, we no longer rely on the affirmation of people who do not stand at the same place that we stand. We simply do not. Alpha, I do want to thank you and for co-hosting with me at Our Common Ground. We want to thank East Coast Sam for being with us and House Music Lover. I appreciate the calls of Doc Don and Maze and House Music Lover and the points that you have made and all of you who are discussing the relevant issues before us in this country. We do have to decide what serves our community, not the opinions that are, have some blanks, Alpha. There's simply some people who are misinformed, ill-informed, and then there are some people who are blanks. There are some people who cannot think beyond their self-interest, who cannot think beyond their being Baptist and Methodist and Buddhists and whatever else they are. when you speak truth to power, truth being the defining character of a community to be successful in and on its own right. We hope that you'll all join us next week for our discussion on reparations. I'm Janice Graham, and he is Alpha, and we've had a wonderful, wonderful time with you tonight, and we hope that you will go forth in the season of Ramadan, in the season of opportunities for renewal. Thank you, Alpha. Thank all of you in the chat room, and we'll see you next Saturday for Saturday Night Open Mic when we talk about reparations. Tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. on TruthWorks, we're featuring a rebroadcast of a discussion between Dr. Michael Eric Dyson and Reverend Jeremiah Wright, 8 p.m. at TruthWorks Network, which is a broadcast product of Our Common Ground. Good night, all, and thank you very, very much for being with us.
To feel afraid of African-American people as if they are not fellow Americans, but rather a threat to what white people have. They're coming for you. It's a zero-sum game.
What we want is to get back to where our country was 100 years ago.
White people, you will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised.
Thank you for joining us here at Our Common Ground, Saturday Night Open Mic.
This is Our Common Ground. I'm Janice Graham, and I'll be listening for you.
To bring to you a new Black Voice Collaborative, TruthWorks Network, at Blog Talk Radio. Look for us in August 2010. I'm Janice Grant. At TruthWorks Network, we'll be listening for you.
to feel afraid of African-American people as if they are not fellow Americans, but rather a threat to what white people have. They're coming for you. It's a zero-sum game.
What we want is to get back to the way our country was 100 years ago.
White people, you will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised.
Thank you for joining us here at Our Common Ground. Saturday night open mic.
This is Our Common Ground. I'm Janice Graham, and I'll be listening for you.